Oh, good. All right. So let's look through the window of baseball as we do every Saturday and Sunday. On behalf of Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett White, the professional builder's choice, we've got Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle on the line. Bruce, how are you today?
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Well, here we are. The Ryder Jones era begins. We've
nice.
Had the Christian Arroyo era. We've had the Austin Slater era. And now the Marty Lurie era.
Thank
so.
You.
Yeah, well, it's great to see him in the lineup already. I mean, I agree with the guy who was just on. Was his name Lou, the guy who won
yep,
the contest?
Right, yes.
He said two great things. One, let's see all the kids. Let's see all of them. Let's see Shaw. He mentioned some other guys from the lower minors. That gives fans something to look forward to. And, you know, Ryder Jones and Slater with level swings, you know, keep it that way. It's one thing to be Chris Bryant or Cody Bellinger or Mike Trout with the uppercut, and that is the way things are going. But if you're not by nature that kind of hitter, you know, stick with what works. There's always going to be room for guys who hit line drives and get on base and hit 300 and all those things that seem to be going extinct, but they're not.
Bruce, this was an interesting week of baseball for the Giants, going back to last weekend in Colorado and in Atlanta. And Dwayne made a plea on the air, and I agree with him. You know, you want to do your best, and if your record is pretty poor, you still want to go out there and entertain.
Yeah.
This team, I don't know, maybe the last week was maybe the most entertaining week of the year.
Well, in a macabre sort of way, I guess
yeah.
it was.
Yeah. Well, they're down, and you couldn't shut it off. I mean, they're down by nine
no.
runs, eight runs, six runs, and here they come.
Yeah, they seem to score in bundles when they're down 10 zip.
Yeah.
but yeah, I mean, it shows that they, you know, the team's got a lot of fight in it. And it's kind of a cliche, you know, it's like, why wouldn't you play hard? Well, when teams get down and they lose confidence and there's nothing to seemingly to play for, guys do let up. Maybe, you know, subconsciously, they're just not quite getting after it the way that they should, which is a natural reaction. And, you know, to see the Giants, you know, still acting like a team that matters, you know, it's important. It's really important for the fans to see that. And I think it's great.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Bruce. And we see athletes and people of all walks of life and all occupations lose that eye of the tiger once they get paid or once they win a bunch of championships. It's just hard to be constantly hungry. I mean, Pablo Sandoval is a perfect example. Bruce, what'd you think of the new Atlanta ballpark? Did you enjoy this bandbox? Are you looking for a more fair yard?
I'm all for fair yards. I'm on record as saying that Giants Park is great and shouldn't be messed with. And, you know, one of the main reasons is because there's so many bandboxes in the National League. Just on and on. Cincinnati, Philadelphia, now Atlanta. I mean, that home run Buster Posey, it was a joke.
Yeah.
The pop fly down the right field line, period. You know, Chicago, when the wind's blowing out. I mean, Milwaukee, there's so many ballparks that just torment pitchers. There have to be some fair parks. I was hoping the Atlanta Park would be more fair, and I'll always contend that the Giants Park offers some really good balance, and when they rebuild their pitching staff and have a good staff and have a good bullpen, you know, fans are going to realize that and harken back to the championship years that, you know, pitching wins a lot of games, pitching and defense, and that's what this park's all about.
Bruce, I would contend that AT&T is built for the pitchers, and I mean,
yeah.
heavily slated towards the pitchers, so I asked Marty before the show, and we couldn't really come up with one. Name a park that's balanced. It doesn't slant in favor of the hitter or the pitcher. It's just pretty fair. Is there one like that?
Well, you know, Wrigley's 355 down the lines. It's a rare night when there's no wind in Chicago. I'll give you that. And
okay.
it's either blowing the ball back or guiding it out. But on a you know, all things considered, you know, 350 whatever it is down the lines is pretty fair. I don't know. I'd have to look at all the teams and give it a look. I think Washington seems like it's fairly fair, if that makes
okay.
any sense.
Sure.
Yeah, Washington.
Dodger Stadium, I think, is pretty fair. I think
okay.
Dodger Stadium is a good example. I mean, you can get it out of there for sure. Down the lines, it's pretty convenient, but it's definitely not a bandbox, and that's what I like to see.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I think you're right. Washington, you get in that jet stream to right field, and
right.
Michael Morse, remember, he
yeah,
used to
that's
kill
true,
it
yeah.
in the right field. But, you know, I'm looking. I have the list here, which gives me an advantage. And jumping out of me, I would say Pittsburgh and St. Louis.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, yeah. Without a doubt. And, And again, you need that. You need that balance. The pitcher is, if you're on a road trip, there's got to be a stop where the pitcher's going, okay, I'm not going to get burnt by a routine fly ball.
Yeah, now the American League, this is interesting, Bruce. Now all of a sudden, as Pat brings this up, we talk about it. But look, parks in the 50s were small. No one seemed to complain about that. And look at the Yankee Stadium. Until Charlie Finley tried to duplicate the pennant porch. Remember when he built the fence out there in right field in Old Municipal Stadium in Kansas City? No one really was outraged at the house that Ruth built, and they made it slanted for the left-handed hitter.
Yeah, and it was also a 457 to left center. Isn't that right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. 408 to, I think, right center, 457 to left center.
And Polo Grounds, it was down the right field line, was the most convenient right field porch ever, and it was like 990 to center.
We were talking last night, Orlando Cepeda was here last night, and we were talking about the people who hit it into the bleachers in the old Polo Grounds. You remember they had staircases up on both sides of the clubhouse? And to the side with the bleach, and Lou Brock was one.
Right, yeah, I remember that.
And Joe Adcock, and Eddie Montague was shocked, shocked that Lou Brock had that kind of power.
Yeah, Lou Brock was a little guy, and that woke everybody up, especially when he came up with the Cubs. People were thinking, well, he's a good player. He's going to do something. Then they traded him to the Cardinals, and he just exploded. He just took off in every conceivable direction.
Yeah.
But a little guy like that hit it that far is pretty inspiring.
Yeah, and I think Brock, if I'm not mistaken, I think he hit the ball into the bleachers. And Bruce is right. It's like 800 feet.
That, wow.
Not literally, but it was a
it's
shot.
It's way out there.
But I think he hit it as a Cub.
Jeez.
Did he? That could be. Yeah.
I think
maybe that's what got the Cardinals' attention.
Yeah, seriously. I think he hit it as a Cub in those days. Yeah, the ballparks, they won home runs. Pat and I were talking, I don't know if you saw Verducci this week or whatever, but, there's a lot of standing around. The only true outcomes are walk, strikeout, and home runs, and they're going up and up and up.
Yeah, and of course you're right about the Cubs, because by the time you got to the Cardinals, I don't think there was a Polo Grounds anymore. I'm not sure when that trade went down, but anyway, I think you're right.
Let's see. Testing my knowledge here. you may have 64, I think, was the first year of Shea.
Uh-huh.
So, if he was traded in 64, probably. Yeah, I think he hit it in 63. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to say. Hey, Tim Kirchian had a very good article this week, Bruce. I don't know if you saw it.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, putting the future in focus, the blueprint for baseball in 20 years. I thought it was great. And the one thing that grabbed me was you would have like 5 timeouts during the game where the coach or someone could come out and talk to the pitcher. And Manfred, I heard him this week saying, football has a little earpiece. Why can't the coach have an earpiece to the pitcher on the mound and not even come out?
I think that's where it's headed. That's a good technological advance. Of course, if the guy's just in from Japan, you might have some trouble.
Well, you have the interpreter.
Right.
You have the coach says the interpreter, and he's...
He's got the headset on.
Right.
Yeah. No, I think that's going to be a real focus of the pace of play adjustments. There's just way too many meetings, especially when it's the same one between the same catcher and pitcher. That's when it just gets intolerable. You can understand one meeting between anybody, the pitching coach, the manager, the catcher, whatever, with a certain pitcher, and I think it's dangerous to put an exact amount of timeouts on the game, because if you're out of timeouts, then it's a game that with the playoffs at stake, and you can't go out and settle a guy down or stall for time. That's pretty tough. But maybe I'd like to see it curtailed where you can only do it once with a certain guy. How about Kirchian writing that the home plate umpire will someday be behind the mound?
I liked it. Yeah, it's a better view. That's what he said.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
that would be. No, it's a very fascinating article. I'm glad you saw it. And he said no ties in baseball. The 12th inning will begin with a runner on second. If there's a tie after 12, the 13th will begin with a runner on third. And if there's ties after that, they're just going to, just have a relay race or something.
Yeah, they'll just have a mythical leadoff homer. Well, this game's over. You missed it, but the guy hit one right out of the park. And I also like that the roster is expanding to 26 or 27, which is long overdue. Mm-hmm. Although if that happens, I'd like to see a limit on the pitchers so you can actually have a bench. You know, when teams go into a game with a four-man bench, especially in the National League, that's just not enough.
Yeah, you've been on that for a long time. That's one of your things for a long time. And then the players are going to get so big that the pitcher will have to pitch with a helmet on, essentially.
Yeah, I'm not sure that ever happens. It depends how cool it looks, because how you look is important when you're a grown man playing a kid's game. That's why only one or two pitchers wear those padded caps on the mound.
Yeah, in fact, there was a reliever for the Padres who went to the Mets, and I can't think of his name.
Torres.
Was it Torres? Yeah, he was the first to wear that weird Kevlar hat. Well, Mike Kruko said it a million times that it would have been hard for him to don that cap for the exact reason you mentioned, Bruce.
It's important. It really is. You got to look good. You got to feel good about how you look. It might sound silly, but it's not at all. You know, there's a lot of style that goes into the game, and you see guys are very meticulous about how they wear the uniform. And mm-hmm. if your head's all out of shape, that's just not a good look. And it also makes it look like you're obsessed with not getting hit.
Yeah,
which is not the mentality you can take out there.
Right. What do you think of the Rizzo slide into the catcher?
Well, you know, the guy gave him a little bit of the outside to slide into, but he didn't give him a proper lane. But there was a way for him to slide, you know, as so many guys do, on the outside of the plate, maybe show a hand or just, you know, a hook slide. I didn't think it was absolutely necessary that he laid the guy out, but the catcher did. He came close to crossing that line where he was literally blocking the plate, in which case he's fair game.
Yeah, it didn't offend me at all.
And no.
It looked like a baseball play, really.
Yeah, I think when he wasn't suspended, I think that's good. It brought it to light a little bit, and people were talking about it and back and forth. And, it's definitely going the right way. You know, Posey, of course, you know, he sets the standard. He's, you know, the king of the swipe tagger, hopefully now. That's what catchers have to do. But, you know, a lot of catchers are kind of sliding back in there a little bit, blocking the plate. And, they'll pay the price. And if it gets to be an epidemic, then we'll see some suspensions. But I kind of doubt it.
If you get in the plate, if you get in the way of the runner, I mean, I think that you, hey.
Well, you're fair game.
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
Like, hey, I don't want to get eaten by a shark, and then you jump in the water. In fact, Bruce, no kidding. Marty, Thursday night at Original Joe's, we had a fabulous dinner with the listeners. And Marty told me that Willie Mays broke a guy's leg not once, but twice, plays at the plate.
Del Rice. Remember Del Rice, Bruce, the catcher?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, with the Braves, yeah.
Yeah, Willie slayed into him one, and then he came back, he broke his leg again.
Yeah, I mean, Mays was a little rock of Gibraltar.
He was a fullback. He was Jim Brown coming in. He was a fullback
He did play football. They say he was an incredible quarterback in his youth in Birmingham.
Right, amazing. Well, the Mets are here, and it was interesting yesterday as Drubal Cabrera is now a second baseman. He doesn't like it, and he demanded, and to the writers, I want to be traded. And I love the New York press. They were around him so much, I thought they were going to suffocate him. they were like pushing him into his locker, and the guy's just trying to explain what he wanted to be. And he said, I didn't come here to be a second baseman and all that. I love the New York press, Bruce. I love it. I love watching them.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing you get on teams that were supposed to be good and they've gone terribly wrong. It's a bit of too much whining for me. To the Giants' credit, there hasn't really been, at least in public, any of that stuff. Just condescending or me first kind of stuff. And hey, what about me? You don't get that with the Giants, which I think is refreshing.
Well, here we go. Ryder Jones tonight hitting seventh. I'll ask you our question, Bruce. First Giant today to get an extra base hit. What inning? What type?
I'm going to go Ryder Jones in the second with a double to right center.
Very good. You and Larry Kruger on the same page here.
Nice.
Very good. All right. Go ahead.
Wait, before I let Bruce go, since you guys are such baseball historians, I just saw a note courtesy of Elias Sports. Okay, the Oakland A's, Matt Olson, Jacob Brugman, and Franklin Barreto today became just the second set of three teammates each to hit their first major league home run in the same game. It was previously done April 26th, 1914, three players playing for the Kansas City Packers of the Federal League.
What?
Duke Kenworthy, Art Krueger, and John Potts. Go.
Marty, I've never heard of any of those guys. Nope. If you have, I'm leaving.
No, I never heard of the team.
Yeah, right. And that was a dead ball era. Yeah, I'm not surprised it's never happened, you know, in the game as we know it. That's just awesome. What a great thing for the A's.
Well, that's why we love baseball. Seriously.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, where'd that come from?
You know, 1914, you know, cars, airplanes, who knows what was going on.
The miracle
break. Sawdust on the streets.
Yeah.
But we can picture in our minds, three home runs just like today.
Yeah. Wasn't that the year of the Miracle Braves?
Yep. Yeah, in July, they were like 15 or 20 out, and George Stallings, the manager, and he had Rabbit Moranville.
Look at you two guys. By the way, Bruce, you work in the paper business and a master of information. How would Elias even find that? Give us a little insight into how Elias would research that and come up with that kind of information.
You know what? It's always amazing to me how they come up with these things, like, right away. I don't know how you think that they'd have to go through every single box score, but they've already done that, and I guess they've categorized everything in just the most wacky categories you could ever imagine, and they've got it at their fingertips. That's stunning how this kind of stuff arrives in just such great haste.
That's a good story. We ought to do that one day.
Yeah.
Hey, Bruce, have a great afternoon, and we'll look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right, sounds good, guys.
Very good. Great discussion.
I love Bruce.